31st December 2003. 10th point. What is the sign of checking your account? Explanation. What is the sign of checking your account of accumulation? You served through your thoughts, words and deeds. But the sign of accumulating is that while serving, first of all, there should be contentment within oneself. Together with that, did those souls whom you served have the contentment of happiness? If there isn't contentment on both sides, then understand that the fruit of your service is not accumulated in your account of service. So this is the Avyakta Murli on 31st December 2003. We were reading the series Mera Baba, and Baba is saying in this, what is the sign of checking your account of accumulation? You serve through your thoughts, words and deeds. But the sign of accumulating is that while serving, first of all, there should be contentment within oneself. Together with that, did those souls whom you served have the contentment of happiness? If there is not contentment on both sides, then understand that fruit of your service is not accumulated in your account of service. Baba is telling to check our account of accumulation. And what is the sign of that? When you are doing elevated deeds, when you are serving through mind, serving through words, serving through actions, there will be contentment. A deep and profound sense of satisfaction. When we really do some elevated work, elevated service, we feel deep contentment within us. Not only that, all those whom you served, even those souls will feel that sense of contentment, that sense of profound happiness within themselves. We should serve in such a manner that every action of ours should bring contentment to ourselves and contentment to others. That should be our goal. How much it gets translated into practice, that is another thing, but we have to keep a very high goal that I have to remain contented. No matter what upheavals come, no matter what obstacles come, no matter what are all circumstances come, but to remain happy and contented, that is the goal. Because satisfaction or this contentment is not related to external things. It is an internal affair. It is an internal state of the mind. Somebody might be trying hard to make us dissatisfied, but it is nothing to do with outside world. It is all within us. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with wealth. It has nothing to do whether others are fulfilling our expectations or not. It has to do more with inner fulfillment. Whenever there is a vacuum within, we try to fill that vacuum with outside things. This spiritual vacuum which gets created, we try to fill it with worldly things and they never fill it and we become dissatisfied. Unless and until soul is filled with spiritual powers, unless and until soul is filled with all that is spiritual, it never knows contentment. So very goal or very method of remaining contented in life is to fill it with spiritual love, with spirituality. Rather than seeking it outside, seek it within. The treasure is not without, the treasure is within. All treasures are within. Rather, all that is within should only be called treasure. All that is without, all that is outside is not treasure at all. So we need to change the definition first of all. What things make me satisfied? What satisfy me in life? This is the basic question. Everybody wants satisfaction. And the entire this wild goose chase is for happiness and contentment in the world. This cutthroat competition is just for this one thing. And we always feel that others are more happy. Others are richer than us. Maybe even in virtues, even in physical wealth or whatever. But that sense of comparison never allow us to remain content. We suffer from this deep disease of comparison. Then Baba has said in so many Murlis, each one is unique, each one is special. But still, we accept that I am special, I have specialities, but still, when we see others, we feel that his speciality is greater or bigger than that of mine. So the basic barrier which is there in contentment is ego. Unless and until we let go of this, we never remain satisfied. It is said in the life of Napoleon Bonaparte that he remained dissatisfied throughout his life. He was never happy. He was never satisfied. And he was very small, 5 feet 5 inches. And all his bodyguards, all his soldiers, they were tall. Even though he was boss, but he had that sense of dissatisfaction always. It is said that once he was putting a nail on the wall, and it was at a little higher distance, and as I said, he was little, his height was not much, 5 feet 5 inches, so he was trying hard to nail some photograph. So one soldier who was standing there, he said, sir, I am higher than you, let me hang it. He said, you might be taller than me, but not higher. Why you use the word higher? You have used the word higher. You are not higher than me. You are taller than me. And that soldier was imprisoned. Such inflated ego he had. He could not tolerate anybody trying to prove himself greater than Napoleon himself. So this ego is such a barrier. We want to prove our superiority over others. That never allows you to remain satisfied. So long as this sense of superiority is there, to remain stabilized in self-respect is one thing. Baba has said, you are greatest in the world, you are highest in the world, you are purest in the world, you are richest in the world. That is one thing. But to pride it, to brag of it, to blow one's trumpet, that makes you distraught, dissatisfied. So I need to check what are those things that bring dissatisfaction. Am I expecting more from others? Is it some relationship where I have lot of expectations and that other person cannot fulfill? Or is it that I want that person to do all these things and that person is not capable? I want this person to give speeches. I want that person to do lot of services. I want that person to do a special type of service. I have all these expectations from that soul that this person should do. But that person is not capable of doing that. Again I come to sorrow when I have such expectations from others. So that also makes you dissatisfied in life. Lot of expectations. If we smile, the other person should smile. That is expectation. If we talk with the person nicely, we expect that the other person should also talk nicely with us. If we talk sweetly, that the other person should also talk sweetly with us. But all human beings, they continue to behave in a manner they are used to. That will be not according to your choices and preferences. And it is none of your business also to get unhappy over the thing. Suppose I go to some place and people don't give me any respect or people don't talk nicely with me, I feel unhappy. But probably they are doing the same thing with everyone. I am not understanding this other side of the story. There is always two dimensions to everything. We always see what is my point of view. I see that I said Om Shanti to somebody and that person did not respond. I feel unhappy. But probably that person might not be responding to others also. This thing I am forgetting. Probably it is not targeted to me. Rather, he is carrying his own sanskar. It has nothing to do with me. I am just a guest. So many are coming and going. So many are visitors. This man is same with everyone. But I do not know other things. That's why I feel that he is behaving like this with me. So that expectation also makes you dissatisfied in life. All the reasons are so subtle. We become unhappy, but we don't know why we are unhappy. We are in Madhuban, we come for service, we feel somewhere that people should appreciate me, praise me for whatever I am doing. But I find that rather than praising, they are scolding for every small mistake. This is going against my expectations. Again, I get unhappy. To remain happy, to remain contented, it's, I will say, a very higher goal of life. Because we associate our satisfaction, our contentment with outside things. That's why we are very much unhappy. People will continue to behave in the manner they behave. We can't expect them to change their behavior, their temperament, their nature, because they are carrying that nature from very long time. Just as I am struggling with some of my own sanskars, I want to change, but I am not able to change. In the similar manner, they are also struggling, and probably they are also unable to change. I have no knowledge about jealousy, because that sanskar is not in me, but the other person is carrying that sanskar. And I am shocked to see, even this such a thing can happen. But it is true for them. Just as a patient tells that I am seeing ghost, I am seeing angels, we call it as a hallucination you are having. We just laugh it off. But for that person, all those things are real. Maybe for me, they are just hallucinations. But for him, they are real. In the similar manner, for that person, all those things are right. For example, a husband and wife are there. Okay. Wife is very much suspicious about her husband. She is always trying to find as if he is having some affair with somebody. And she is searching a clue for that. And one day she finds a hair on his coat. And she says, I knew this. Probably you are moving around with some other woman. Where from otherwise this hair will come? So the husband tries to explain her so many things, but suspicion is very difficult to go away. So for next 7 days she doesn't find, she always checks. The moment he comes from office, he checks anything, any clue, any scent or something. So for 7 days she doesn't find a single hair. So again she is unhappy. She says, now you have started moving with a bald woman. This is too much. Means you are moving. That's a seed of jealousy is there. Now it is trying manifestation. It is trying to manifest it. It is not that the husband may try to bring the whole lot of evidences. She is not going to believe any one of them. Because she has already believed in her heart of hearts that it is like this. Now only she wants only proofs. So now if this husband comes in Gyan, even if he follows all the godly codes of conduct, but it is very difficult to convince. So what is the way out? Should he break his head convincing her and remain unhappy or dissatisfied? No. Rather, the seed, as I said, we can't change other people. They are struggling with their sanskars. They are having their fixed sanskars. Probably they are also in the process of change. They are also in the process of change. You are traveling in a train. I had given the example last time also. You are traveling in the train. You got up at 3 o'clock. You are having upper berth. You are sitting on the upper berth, sleeping on an upper berth. You got up at 3 o'clock, you find everybody else is sleeping. Now you want them to wake up. No, they will not wake up. They will wake up at their proper time. But if you remain, if you insist that why all are not waking up, probably you are becoming sorrowful yourself. They have their fixed sanskars. You can have good feelings, good wishes for all of them, but you cannot make them. You cannot force, you cannot thrust your opinions, ideas, views, ideology on them. That's what parents do. They try to force their opinion on children. Father wanted to become doctor, he could not become, so he wants now, he takes the revenge. He wants his son to become that. He wants his son to fulfill that dream. And if that son is not interested in studies at all, then there is havoc in the family. If the son is interested in arts and all such things, they feel it very inferior. In this competitive world when everybody tries to become doctor, lawyer or engineer, you are thinking of taking an arts as your career. Such a foolish idea. Who will feed you? You are thinking of taking philosophy as your subject. Nobody likes, but suppose a person is interested in philosophy then? Who studies philosophy nowadays? Anybody who does MA in philosophy? Very less. Very less. Because what you earn after becoming a philosopher? So, but it is not the question of earning. It is not the question of that. It is the question of your internal desires, your internal nature, to be in tune with that nature. So I was coming back, I was talking about we are here, others are here. They are carrying their set of sanskars. And they will continue to grow according to that sanskar. And they will have a realization. One day a realization will definitely come to them. That time they will change, not before that. I cannot force them to change. I can take the horse to pond, but we cannot make that horse drink that water. The same rule applies here in spirituality, in life. So, the source of my happiness is within me. The source of my happiness is deep inside me. The streams of happiness are within me. They are not outside. The moment I try to seek them outside, I become unhappy. The moment I feel that this person will make me unhappy, I am creating means and ways of becoming unhappy. So, let me remain within myself. A yogi is the one who remains satisfied. That's what is written in Gita. Santushtaha satatam yogi. Nirantar. At all times. He is happy. Why? Because he doesn't expect anything from others. Because he is not worried about anything. Because he has surrendered his life unto one Father. Yesterday we were discussing about these shades of love. If you go study all those shades of love, you will find as you progress ahead, the sense of surrender increases. Then it is not me, but you. When I say it is mine, in today's blessing also Baba has said the same thing. It is not me, but it is his. Transfer all the responsibilities. This Brahmin life is a life of just two people, God and you. The moment a third person tries to come, upheaval occur. The moment you try to bring in somebody, the moment you try to depend on somebody's guidance, instructions, the moment it also can become an addiction. You want to share with somebody everything, that itself can become an addiction. An addict never knows what he is addicted to, and he will never even accept that I am addicted to this. Only a person who is out of that addiction can tell that person, you are addicted. No alcoholic, no smoker ever say that I am addicted totally. Very few. Most of them, they try to justify and rationalize their smoking. But a person who has never smoked, he can say that yes, you are addicted. In the similar manner, the five vices, their subtle forms. A person, he is drowned or he has few traces of lust, but he calls it love. He never says that I am suffering from lust. He never says that. He says it is my love. It is my love for this sister, it is my love for that brother. They talk in this way. But only a person who is totally free from that, even such attachments, such bondages, he can diagnose, yes, this is not love. This is something else. This is not normal. This is something else. You call this love, but this is not love, this is attachment. But the margin of attachment and love, it's so thin. We often try to call our attachments as love. We often try to call our needs as our avarice, our greed as need. So this is very, 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 very subtle. The more we enter into spiritual kingdom, the more we understand the subtleties, the more we understand the deeper dimensions of our own being. So today, homework is, what is satisfaction, what is contentment, what are the things which are responsible for my dissatisfaction, and what should I do to remain happy and contented all throughout the day. At least today, let us make target for today. Today I have to stay happy and contented, whole day. What are those things which are coming in my path and they are just throwing my contentment overboard? Let me focus on that. Shanti.